Hallelujah. Praise God. As we continue on in this service today, I want us to carry that consciousness and awareness based on conviction that God is here. And I say this of my whole heart. And so, as I speak, you may be reading a passage of scripture. You may be by the words the Holy Spirit gives. I want you to be expectant and positioned to receive in whatever area or aspect you're looking to the Lord for, because he's very present and he's very real. It's going to be a little different today, but that's okay, because he's got this. I received a testimonial, or a testimony as we like to call it, and I'd like to share that with the body today. Pastor Sheldon, the presence of the Lord was so strong on Sunday, this was a couple of weeks ago. During worship, I received healing for a broken heart. When you said broken hearts are being healed, I don't know the reason they are broken, but they are being healed now. I visualized Jesus standing in front of me. I saw my broken heart in him. Then I saw his whole healthy heart in me. I felt such a peace come over me. I knew it was done. I just received and believed. Piece of cake for Jesus. My week has been wonderful. All my anger has gone, which at times was more than I could stand. And joy has returned. Praise God. God has continually blessed me this week and through this entire process. Thank you for your heart. Love, Michelle. And after the service, another individual came up and talked about a situation that was described and ministered to by the Lord as concerns a growth in their body. That stuff pulverized by the power of the living God. Yes. And from the Bible classes and studies that are already ongoing, prophetic words already went ahead, and the miraculous is already taking place with healed ears. Yes. And things manifesting. And there's been several other things. I'm not going to list them all now. But here's the picture, friends. Manifestations popping up left, right, center in different avenues in and through the saints. Let us be aware of what is going on as by the Spirit of the living God, and position ourselves to not only receive, but to be in the mainstream of the move of God for this hour. Yes. Yes. And for this time. Not just words. The Spirit of the living God. And he's here. Mm-hmm. Can you have that degree of expectancy in your mind and in your heart as you're seated to receive the word today? I repeat, even at the reading of Scripture. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I titled this message real briefly, and I'm just going to be led in how he navigates. Recipe for the miraculous. Recipe for the miraculous. Notice I've not put any articles before that. It's for cause. Concerning the miraculous, as we go on this morning, another word that's going to be in there, utilized, is us being aware and in tune with the supernatural. And I want to encourage us, it is not something to be afraid of, to be scared of, or to hold back on, because there is a need to press in. Amen. Friends, concerning the miraculous, concerning the supernatural, it starts with God. In truth, it's all about Him. In the beginning, it says, God created the heavens and the earth. And we are well versed in all that transpired at creation. And we know in Genesis in chapter 1, verse 27, He created man in His own image and breathed into him the breath of life. And man became what? A living being, a living soul. And in Genesis chapter 3, quick paraphrase here, time-wise, we see the tragic event of man's fall. And in a nutshell, we know what resulted. Death in every way, as far as according to what the Lord had said in telling them and speaking to them at the first. So first off, I'm minded to remind us and to throw up once again for our consideration the miracle of the new birth and all that surrounded that. Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and you, has He quickened, has He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And it goes on to describe a bit more of the situation we were under. We can turn to verse 4, Ephesians 2, 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In a nutshell, friends, God placed us front and center in the sphere or the plane of existence called the supernatural in Christ. That's the position in view of authority, as it concerns authority, that is the position in which we are in as his children. Hear me say this. For us to be the children of God, or to be saved, or as concerns this miracle of the new creation, which 2 Corinthians 5 describes as a new creature, when you study this out in the original, something that what? What was the state of that existence? Didn't what? Exist what? Before, brand new. So God didn't just say, oh, you know what? I'm just going to call them my children. I'm just going to forgive their sins and deal with the sin issue or sin question and just call them children, my children. No, God did something about it. Something happened to you in him issuing, giving, conveying his life. Let me say this. His life to you. Miracle. Sometimes we're not aware. Sometimes it's not front and center in our hearts. Titus in chapter 3. Verse 4 through 7, Titus 3, 4 through 7. But after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward mankind appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he has shed on us abundantly. Not in frickles and trickles, as it were, as of something liquid or something temporal or something in that manner, but basically all of him he gave. Poured out, that's the sin, so that we can know the totality of it, the sum, the how grand, how great that was. He gave us his spirit. Concerning the walk as believers, the walk as Christians, for victory, it has to be by the Spirit. Concerning revival, concerning an awakening, concerning refreshing, it has to be by the Spirit. I came here to say this morning, in order to maximize, we're believers, we have the Holy Spirit. In order to maximize this existence, the plane, the realm in which we now dwell, because the truth is, you're no longer ordinary. Because of the one who dwells in you, because of the one who now lives, dwells, resides in me, we are what? Extraordinary in the sense of we're now naturally supernatural. Because of the one who dwells within. And for us to be able to maximize this reality and to see this in our walk, in our daily walk as believers, as Christians, as ambassadors of Christ Jesus, we realize it's by the Spirit, and we realize it takes sowing. Recipe for the miraculous. Sowing. Sowing. Time will not permit us to go into the book to see the advent of the Holy Spirit. A lot of things said about power in that, and why this is important for this time, for this hour. How Jesus told them in Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, might. I felt that the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Man, I wish I could go into Acts 2 and all, but friends, it will take sowing. Can we turn to Galatians in chapter 6? I just want to show a couple of things real quick. Galatians in chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. Verse 7, Galatians 6, 7. It talks about sowing. And I'm here talking about sowing into the Spirit. And we cannot talk about a refreshing or times of awakening, times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, without the unmistakable ingredient or source called prayer. Prayer! Giving ourselves over to prayer. And I'm talking this morning more about the private, more about the personal. We can talk another time about the collective and how that works. But what we are seeing and greater dimensions in things of the Spirit and breakout of power in our midst. We can go through the book and see how that in the book of Acts, just before Acts 2 Pentecost, they were all together in what? One accord. Doing what? Praying. Bible enjoins Ephesians 6:18, praying always. And yes, we can talk about this with respect to or in view of revival, but for you as a Christian, as a believer, this is what we are called to pray. Praying always with all manner of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Remaining in the same. With prayers, supplications for others, for people. Continue in prayer. Remain in the same, it says. Colossians 4:2. Remain in the same with thanksgiving. Friends, prayer cannot be seen as an option. Prayer cannot be seen as something that is optional. It's not. We must not look at it as an added chore, something I'm just going to, oh, you know what, I really don't have time, but let me try and fit it. Let me just try. Try hard. In the midst of the constant continuum of our lives, the daily living, things we have to take care of, and all much more. Prayer has to be seen as integral in the place of our relationship with the Father of Spirits, with God Himself. We were at Galatians in chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also, okay, let me read, not quote. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life, or life everlasting. And so the sense that he showed made clear, if we look at it, we know what it is in context. But the sense he speaks is that we ought not to sow, and we should be clear about the distinction, ought not to sow into the natural, ought not to sow into the place of the natural, but ought to sow into what? Into what? Into the Spirit. Sow into the spiritual. And he showed we've been majoring in the ordinary. And ordinary, in truth, really won't do. Because we belong to and serve a God who is what? Spirit. God is Spirit. John 4:24. And they that worship him must do that in what? In spirit and in truth. So because of time, let me throw this up based on how I flow with him in this. Recipe, sauce, ingredients for today. I'll keep it short. Prayer and then praise. We must purpose to engage, expose ourselves to God, to his Spirit, and purpose to engage him spirit to spirit. In that most marvelous endeavor, communication, every time you open up in prayer, seeing that as an encounter with the Most High. Every time. Because things happen in the place of prayer, friends. And I'm speaking more particularly with reference to praying in the Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:15, says, I will pray my spirit. I'll pray in my understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. And I'll sing in my understanding. There's benefits to be had. There are benefits to be had, friends, in giving ourselves over to the Lord in this way. Sowing. What are you sowing? What do you get to sow? If you see it, friends, as a giving of yourself to him every time in the, on the person, it's how do I put it? So personal for your growth, for your development, for your insight into things of the Spirit. Talking about the glory of the Lord, him revealing himself to you. Glimpses of his glory. Can we have that expectation? And so that way. And there's benefits for us in growing in the Spirit and walking in him, the life of victory that he's called us to. Can we purpose to and choose to major in the supernatural? Can we turn to 2 Corinthians in chapter 9? This is a portion of scripture that we sometimes look at within the context, seen in the context of giving and receiving, in a certain aspect. Well, this I say, verse 6, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Are you sowing in the Spirit? And if you're sowing in the Spirit, I'm talking about giving yourself over to the Lord in this way, in surrender, in awe of Him, in yielding over to Him completely. There's the how. What does sparingly mean? And then I saw a word, I mean, in the Greek, I looked at it in the Greek, and I saw a word in English that I'd never seen before, and I'm not going to go ahead and pronounce it. I'm not going to go there. What?
Come on, just try.
I'm going to give you the other word in there from the Greek. Stingily. We're not to major in the flesh, we're to major in the spirit. We're not to sow into the natural, we're to sow into the spiritual, into the supernatural, and then we get to see the miraculous. We have to sow in this way. Sparingly, how? We can throw that up as it relates to time. How we are yielded, how we give ourselves over to Him. Are we in a hurry? Are we in a haste? In the place of prayer, in the place of the word, in the place of praise and worship? Are we inundated with the things of life? Are things choked up? Are we struggling to fit Him in? No condemnation. We know that. Always get that. That's baseline, Romans 8:1. I'm throwing this up for you, for us to see. In truth, I say this again, it's all about God and us yielding and giving ourselves over to Him completely. Amen? When the virus hit, you know what? I won't go there. Thank you, Lord. I want to just encourage us to guard against that thing called constant motion. In purposing for the Lord, to seek Him. Powerful worship this morning, this way, by the way. It was an awesome time in the presence of the Lord. Constant motion. Guard against it. Motion in our minds and thinking, in our mouths, with speaking constantly, or in our bodies in moving, actual movement. In every way, that hurried life, that hurried thing, H-U-R-R-I-E-D, it's guard against it. And not be in a haste when in the presence of the Almighty. Friends, I'm talking about a conveyance in the spirit, in the place of praying in tongues, speaking in tongues. Spirit to spirit. I can't go there, but it's in 1 Corinthians 2:11, 12. There's conveyance in the spirit. We need to key into this, friends. We need to tap into this because we've been called into this. This is our reality.
That's right. Amen.
So in truth, really, we're not allowed to miss out on what the Holy Ghost is working in these times. We're not allowed to miss out because we've been equipped with so much. He wants to reveal himself to you on a personal note. He wants to shine his light. The Bible says God is light, in him there's no darkness at all. He wants to shine into your heart. We talk about taking away things, pain, anguish, guilt, and so many things, but there's a whole lot more that the Father seeks for you to see in the place of conveyance, spirit to spirit. He that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints in accordance with his will, God's will. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Sow into the Spirit. Sow in the Spirit. All right, I'll share a quick testimony. We're going to look at Acts and see a couple of things as far as men who gave themselves over to prayer and praise and what effect that had in their life in outworking, the consciousness that they carried in their relationship with the Lord and how that they just went and did and went and spoke. I was going to share a testimony, y'all. I'll save it for another time. Praise God. I guess that was a cue. Acts in chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, 4 through 9. Acts in chapter 3. You can look at the previous chapter at the end of it and see how that the apostles were in one accord in prayer. And then also in verse 27, I believe, in chapter 2, at the latter end. And thank you, Jesus. Peter and John, before the gate beautiful, and we know the portion well. I'm going to read. Thank you, Lord. And I'm just going to throw up a few things and then hopefully close this out. And fixing his eyes on him, because he asked alms of them, John and Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, lame from his mother's womb, from birth, expecting to receive something from them. Verse 6, then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Exposure to him who is light not only paints the picture, but makes it clear to you the reality of the greater one who lives within. This consciousness, this awareness, this conviction, this understanding makes us aware in the realm of the spirit, in the realm of the supernatural, and we are set to do, to step out in faith. Knowing him in whom we have believed. Do I answer this, Lord? Here's a question that comes up, friends. We look at that and we think, oh, wow. How many years was he in that state or position? But then he received. Here's something I want to share real quick. As concerns manifestation that you receive, whether it's a healing, the question arises, how do you keep that? You received. How do you keep? From the three words, walking, leaping, and praising God. And this is important because the enemy tries to have inroad in your mind to thinking, well, this may not be permanent. Well, this may not be really happening, even though something has happened already and is happening in that area, in your heart, in your body, the manifestation of healing. So real, wave of glory moves over you, and that thing is gone. Number one, you acknowledge God for what his might and power has accomplished. In that, be careful not to look at man. Sometimes we zone in on the vessel or the person used by the Lord in the place of ministry. Don't look at man. Acknowledge God and God only for that which you received, whether in your heart or in your body or in, anyway. Number two, thank God for being faithful and true because he is a good, good father. And he does not give and take away. Friends, this thing I'm talking about in the in the hidden areas, in the recesses of our mind, serves and acts to steal from you in the area of receiving. When you receive that manifestation, know that he's a good, good father and he gives. Yes, he can take away the pain, and he does take away the pain, the anguish, the regrets, the guilt, the shame, the condemnation, depression, and all of that. Negative, he does take away. But every good gift comes from him, and he does not take back. You have to know that. Number three, you praise God knowing and fully assured and persuaded in your heart that God is bigger and greater than any devil in hell seeking to or trying to steal what is rightfully yours and what he's freely given to you, which you have freely received. God is greater. Number four, pray, tell. Do not be afraid to tell, to share what the Lord has done, what you have received. Sometimes we're like, oh, I received it, but you know, I don't really want to say, I don't really want to share, lest, so already you can see the mindset, like, oh, is this, I don't know. Zone in on God, focus on God. Time is out. I'll close out with this. Let's turn to 1 John 4. I'd be remiss in not saying this today. Praise. I really didn't touch on, but that's okay. You got the gist. As far as recipe, stay there. Stay. Just take that word, stay. Stay with the Lord. Stay with him. Don't be in a haste. And give him all in surrender from the depths of your heart as you praise him, as you worship him. What we were saying earlier today. And I'll stand with arms high and hearts lifted in awe to the one who gave it all. I'll stand. I'll soul. What? Surrender. Soul surrender to him. Is all that you are his. Let it reflect in the time with him in the secret place. Is it really true to you that it's his breath in your lungs? And do you get to pour out your praise? Pour out your praise. It's your breath in my lungs. Is it his breath in your lungs? Man, you realize that. You recognize that. I tell you, friends, you're not in a hurry to leave. You're not in a hurry to quit. You're not. Stay. And see things break out in your life. The miraculous, accentuated to the nth degree, that is maximized, it just blows out in your life. I promise you, friends, I promise you from my heart, where nothing else matters but God and your pursuit in the relationship, not your pursuit of God, but to say you don't have him, you're chasing after, but in him, because you're in him. Stay. All right. And First John 4, and I'm going to wrap. Time's out. Here's the key. Recipe for miraculous, you have on the line. Here it is. Verse 15. 1 John 4:15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides, God dwells, God lives, God resides in him, and he in God. Talk about your plane of existence in God, because God is where? In you. And we have to be bold about this. We have to be sure about this. We have to be certain about this. We ought not to quake and fear or shake for these times, for the times coming. God abides in you. God abides in me. We have what it takes as it concerns the supernatural, as it concerns the miraculous. Whipping is whipped. One word. God himself. How do we know? How can we know? Commit me. Verse 13. So reverse order now. By the way, when it says Jesus is the Son of God, that means also having faith in him, because we see that from verse 14 and from the previous chapter. So it's about Jesus as Lord and Savior. Verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. God has given you his Spirit. Revival, all of that stuff, and your walk in victory is by the Spirit who lives within you. What does that look like? Well, keep loving on him in the place of relationship. But I want to share verse 4 as I close, and that's it. That'll be it. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, and I say this, declare this. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. So I say to you, whether people, whether situations, whether circumstances, anything, pain, anguish, regrets, anything, put that thing that challenges you. Where you are sitting right now, taking a look at me, put that thing in there, whatever it is, put it under the scope of them, okay? You have God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because he who is in you, that is God, is greater than he who is in the world. Yes. Your overcoming is predicated on the one within. His name is Jehovah. His name is Elohim. His name is Jehovah El Elyon. And he dwells in you. That's right. Every soul, let's stand. Father, thank you. Help us to press in, knowing that it's not about things, but it's about you. And that as we open our hearts to you and pour out our hearts to you in prayer, in emptying of ourselves, because we realize that we've come to the place called the end of us. And our dependence, our walk, our living, our triumphing is in you. Because you are our exceeding great reward. You yourself. All the other things get taken care of. All the other things get handled, but they pale in significance in the light of the recognition of who you are and the glory of your person, your power, and your presence. Hearts touched, minds renewed, bodies whole by your power and spirit. Thank you, Father, for the walk in victory because of you. We love you, Lord. Lift those hands up, way up. Acknowledge him. Magnify him. Hallelujah. We choose to be still in our hearts, Lord, and to acknowledge you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, because no one lives this place the same way they came. Thank you, Father. Again, Lord, for healed hearts and for healed bodies. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you so much for your time. I love you. Thank you for your patience. I mean that. I appreciate you guys. I love you. Have a glorious week. And you all are victors, and you're walking in victory. To his praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.